We're finishing up our Salt and Light series, looking at the second characteristic of light. Last time we looked at light as something that reveals that which is hidden. But there's another purpose for light. How many of you have ever been camping before? All right. How many of you have vivid memories while camping of having to go to the restroom at night or whatever, and you have to get your flashlight out or your headlamp on, and you are walking through the woods to wherever the restroom is, and you're having to use your headlamp to find the way? You guys have memories of that, yeah? If you didn't have your light, what would it be like trying to find your way in the dark? Would it be easy? No? Huh? What did you say? You might get eaten by a bear. Although I'm not sure that the light is a deterrent for the bear. It might be more a signal. Look at me. Come eat me over here. But nonetheless, you would be able to see a danger in the way, maybe like a root sticking out in the path or a hole or something like that on the path. And so the light helps you see where you're going. We all know this. Jesus knows that humans know this, that even in Jesus' day, they would have had to have carried a little oil lamp out with them if they were going out in the dark, and they would have relied on candlelight to provide at least enough light that they could see the path and see where they're going. And this is imagery that Scripture contains throughout all of the whole of Scripture, really, is this idea that God is providing us His truth, His light, to give us a path that we could find our way back to Him, that we can live the life that He desires for us. So as we look at this passage and the passages we've read today, there's a couple of points I want to highlight about what it means for us as the church to be a light that reveals the path to the world. The first is following the light before us. We as Christians, if we are following Jesus Christ as our light, naturally those who might come after us or follow us will be following in our footsteps and will be following the same light we're following. We will be teaching them by our example to follow Christ. Paul says this one time. In one of his letters, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. What a bold statement. I don't think I would ever tell any of you to imitate me, because I don't think I'm Christ-like enough to have you be trying to imitate me and then me know that you would then be imitating Christ. That's a goal in my life. I wish that I would live my life in such a Christ-like way that I could say to you, yeah, do what I do, because what I'm doing is what Christ wants. I think there are members of our congregation who are that close to Christ, who are following Christ, that in imitating them, who have gone before us, we can begin to learn what it means to live and walk in the light of Jesus Christ and be His disciples. Matthew, it says this, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, where we've been focusing on salt and light, it's really interesting that Jesus has this quote, that He says this as a part of His teaching, because prior to this and after this, Jesus regularly talks about making sure that you don't just do things before people to get glory from them. But the key part of this particular verse, and the key thing that allows Him to kind of switch His comments and to say, do this before other people, is that the glory doesn't go to you, but the glory goes to God. And so as Christians, as we begin to live the lives that God has called us into and following Him, that we begin to follow after that light of Jesus Christ, then hopefully the end goal of that is that it's not us who receive the glory. It's not you and I who are going to be praised for doing such a good job. It'll be Jesus Christ. And in fact, it's my wish, and I've said this before in other settings, that after the service, if you were touched by the sermon that I've preached, don't say, good job, Chris, that was a really good sermon, or that was the best sermon I've heard, or anything like that. I don't need a bigger ego. I won't fit out the doors if my ego gets bigger. What you should say is, you should say, I thank Jesus Christ for that message He shared through you today. Because my goal standing up here, and when I preach the Word of God, I'm hoping that Jesus gets the glory, not me. I'm hoping that you all praise Jesus Christ for any word of truth that you've heard come out of my mind or out of my mouth, and that you ignore all the things that I say that are stupid. That's really my only two goals up here. So as we follow after Christ, know this though. I just lost my connection. Next slide, you guys. as we follow after Christ, know this, that it is not a safe path necessarily. Jesus says, if you wish to come after me, you will take up your cross and you will follow me. Our master, the one that we are following in the path after, the one who has shown his light on the path for us to follow, he ended up being sacrificed on the cross for all of humanity. Are you willing to go to that length? Are you willing to serve him so self-sacrificially that you might also end up in a situation that you don't feel comfortable in, or that you might actually have physical harm being come to you? Would you be willing to follow God's call into the mission field to a dangerous place? Are you willing to follow his light into an area that might mean that your own personal security and safety isn't guaranteed? So as we follow Christ, we need to remember that. We need to look at that and follow after him. The next passage, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path in Psalm 19. Jesus, when he's talking about this lamp, notice that he's not talking about our modern day lights, our flashlights that, you know, how many of you have a mag light where you could turn it on and blind somebody that's standing 80 feet from you across the field or something? Many of us do. That didn't exist in Jesus's day. In Jesus's day, when he was talking about light, he was talking about that little oil lamp. And how far do you think that allowed them to see the path in front of them? Just enough for their next couple of steps, right? And so Jesus doesn't give us a light that shows us the rest of our life, our whole future laid out for us, and exactly what he wants us to do. Usually, Jesus is giving you just kind of step by step, step here next, and he's leading us step by step in the path. And David understood this. When he wrote this psalm, he understood that it's God's continual leading in his everyday life that led him closer and closer to the life that God wanted him to lead. Next point. It's all about Jesus. Remember that if you are the light shining the path, that you are all about pointing out Jesus. You can put up the next slide here. Jesus is the light. You're not the light. Jesus is the light of the world, he said. And so it's Jesus Christ who is your end goal. You are trying to connect people to Jesus Christ so that they might know the light like you know the light. Next slide. Jesus is the one holding the lamp. Then Jesus is the one shining it before us so that we could follow after his will, his path, his way, and know him over everything else. Last point, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Next slide. The thing about being a Christian out loud in public is that you will look weird. You'll look as weird as one light bulb turned on amidst a whole bunch of light bulbs not turned on. In fact, you can imagine in that picture, if those light bulbs had the ability to talk, they might be like, hey, calm down over there. You're too bright. You're blinding everybody. They might say things to try and get that light bulb to turn himself off, to conform to the rest of the light bulbs. Jesus knew that as we were going to be following him, that the world, just like it rejected him, would often reject us. And so he knew that there would possibly be obstacles that we would come against. And yet he says, be bold. Be bold in sharing my love. He says this, while you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become children of the light. When we become children of the light, we begin to reveal and show who Jesus Christ is in a bold way, almost as if Jesus himself is there in the presence of the person that we're sharing the gospel with. Next slide. We serve a God who's able to protect Daniel from lions as he was thrown into the lion's den. Now, that's not a guarantee. I'm not saying go and get thrown in a lion's den right now, because there's no guarantee that God is going to save you from the lions in the lion's den. There's many early Christian stories where they were thrown to the lions and God did not protect them in the way that he protected Daniel. But we know this as Christians, that we serve a God who is capable of protecting Daniel from lions, hungry lions that were meant to eat him. And so as we go out into the world and we are sharing the gospel, we should know that we should not fear any kind of repercussions that might come to us as we share the gospel. We should be bold and courageous as we share Jesus Christ with other people, knowing that if it's God's intention to protect us from anything, that he will protect us. But if we end up suffering for his name's sake, then let it be so, because it'll be for the glory of God. And so we should be bold. Now notice this, in the early church, Christians suffered a lot for sharing their faith. They got thrown into lions' pits, they were burned at the stake, they were killed by gladiators, all kinds of other ways that they were martyred because they were standing up and proclaiming Jesus Christ as God of the universe and a savior of all humankind. And they were suffering under great persecution. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to you in the United States when you mention Jesus to somebody? They might roll their eyes at you. You might be a little uncomfortable. They might not want to talk to you after that. That's the worst thing that's going to happen to you probably in the United States. So let us be so much more bold than those early Christians, because we have so much less to risk in our culture, in our society. Let us share Christ and proclaim him with loud voices so that others might come to know his grace and his mercy. And it's his grace and his mercy at this table that we celebrate his sacrifice for us. We come together and we eat from this meal because we know that Jesus Christ lives and that he was raised from the dead. And so we can recognize his sacrifice for us. So we come to this table hungry not for food, but hungry for life in Jesus Christ. We come not as perfect people, but we come knowing our sins, walking in the light, and confessing before God that we need Jesus Christ for salvation. So let us come now to this table and celebrate this meal. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this meal before us. We thank you for the good news that it means not just for us, but for the entire world. And so as we eat this meal today, may it fuel us in a way that food cannot. May it give us a spiritual nourishment that gives us what we need to go out and to be your light in the world, to reflect your light to our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members who don't know you. And Lord, as we do that, we pray that you would protect us from anything that would harm us, and you would allow only what is your will to happen to us. But Lord, most of all, we know that your word does not come back void. So we pray that as we preach your word, as we share your gospel with people in our testimonies and what you're doing in our lives, that it will not come back void, but that we will see your fruit from it. And so we come to this meal humbled by you, and we pray, Lord, for all those around the world who are in need. We pray especially, Lord, for the various different things in the news that we hear weekly. Lord, the violence going on in Afghanistan that is continuing to ramp up, and our men and women in the military who are continually at danger as we fight that war. We pray, Lord, that you would protect over them, that you would work behind the scenes to bring peace. Lord, we pray for the church in places like Afghanistan, that you would raise them up to be a symbol, to be a symbol of hope, Lord, and to be a balm of peace over the people there. That people would come to know you and they would worship you and they would love others in your name because of the love you've shown them. Lord, we pray for our own congregation members and those who are suffering. We think of those who have lost someone that they love. Only just this last week, Lord, we lost Hilda Hespin, one of our long-term members. So we pray for her family and all the families of those who are suffering grief because they miss someone they love so dearly. We pray for those who are suffering under physical ailments, Lord, and need your physical healing or comfort. We pray that you would be with them and that you would use us to be your hands and feet toward them. In all these things, Lord, we do not seek any glory from it. We don't seek our will, but we seek yours. And so we pray the way that your Son taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night prayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you.
And likewise, after the meal, he took the cup and he poured it out. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. And as often as you eat this bread and you drink from this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God.